Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are, as always, excited and delighted to be with you this afternoon as we look at the potential chance of being able to hear your questions and to go into God's Word to find the answer. This is a live call and radio broadcast where you set the tone by calling in your questions. So go ahead and call right now. The lines are open. The number to call is 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564. As we mentioned week after week, the reason that we place so much emphasis on what the Bible says or going to the Bible is because that's the only place that we're going to find the answers that will lead us to life and godliness. And so we want to make sure that our listeners are, in fact, going to the Scriptures and checking out the things that we say. We will do our best every time without exception to try to give you a Bible passage or example concerning those questions that you call in today. We are, in fact, live. I think last week we had some challenges and we were not on the air. But this week we are absolutely on the air, and so we want to make up for lost time. So you go ahead and call in your questions right now. Maybe you had a question last week. You can call that in today. 308-9564 is the number, 308-9564.
Even though we were off the signal out. And so, but we're glad to be on the air today. And again, if you have a question, then go ahead and call it in, 308-9564. Or there's another way you can communicate with us through texting. If you have a cell phone and you would like to text in your question, then that number is 725-9283. For those of you that may be listening in other parts of the world via the Internet, we want you to know that the area code is area code 843, here in the United States, 843, and the text number is 725-9283. The voice line is 843-308-9564. Now, if you call the voice line, there's two ways to communicate with us. Either you can have your question written down and brought into us, or you can go live over the air. The only thing we ask is if you want to go live over the air, that you give us your name so we can address you and be polite about it, and then also that you be ready to turn your radio down so there will not be feedback and an echo to cause confusion. We do not want any confusion on this program. We want God's Word to be clearly heard and for Him to be the final word based upon what His Word says. Thus, the radio program is called Let the Bible Speak. So we do not apologize for giving what the Bible says on any subject that has to do with life and godliness. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse 3, through the knowledge of Him, He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So, we've got to go there for the answer. Now, the reason for that is because we would be very unwise to do anything but. Because Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, as God inspired Paul to write this, he says, even if we, which includes himself, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. That's the Greek word anathema, which means more like annihilation. That's what God wants to happen to Paul if he were to teach anything different. An angel from heaven, if he were to teach anything different. And yes, that would include us as well. So, the best thing for us to do is just to let the Bible speak. We'll give you book, chapter, and verse to the questions that are on your heart, on your mind, and thus God is the one that will be heard and not man. We live in a day and a time where everything in the world is discussed and preached and taught in churches, doctrines of man, doctrines of churches, the people that will get disciples to follow after Pastor so-and-so, and it's about time that we return to the Bible and let the Bible speak. So, do not delay. Go ahead and call in your question right now. Both lines are available. The number, the voice line is 308-9564, or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283.
Again, that number is 308-9564. That's the voice line to call in your questions. Go ahead and call right now. We have a question left over from last week. We were not able to answer this question on air, and so we want to go back to that question I said last week, but it's probably 2 weeks now. John called in this question. This was towards the end of the broadcast in about 2 weeks. And he says, are there any prophets today? When we understand the work or the purpose of the prophet, that will give us some better understanding as to whether or not there are prophets today. A prophet was not just a person who was going about and speaking the word of God. And I think that's sometimes the general thought. And so sometimes people say, well, I'm a prophet today, because the general thought is that they're speaking the word of God. But rather, a prophet spoke forth the word of God. And so it was the idea that God was speaking to this individual, and not just to, but the idea is through. God is speaking through this individual. So this is how God in the first century church, and also in time past, according to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 talks about how that God in times past spoke to the fathers by the prophets. So God would speak to the fathers by the prophets. The prophets would serve as the mouthpiece for God. This is how God would communicate his message to the people. And so that was the purpose of the prophet. That happened in the Old Testament, as we see there in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. And then also it happened in the New Testament time as well, in the church dispensation, because there were those who were served as prophets in the church. We look at 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 28 through 32, and you see Paul is giving what I'm going to call legislation, but rules, guidelines, on how the prophet was to conduct their behavior inside of the church. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 28 through 32, he says, But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent, talking about one who speaks in tongues. In verse 29, he says, let two or three prophets speak, and let the other judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and that all may be encouraged. And so here you have him giving laws or instruction concerning prophecy. Now, why was that necessary? Well, the prophecy, again, the one who was prophesying, this prophecy they were receiving was coming directly from God. They were speaking the word of God. They did not have the Bible. Let me say that again. They did not have the Bible. The word of God was not coming by way of the Bible in the first century church. The word of God was coming by way of the prophets. But God would foretell that a time would come where we would have a completed word. And once a completed word came, then there would no longer be a need for the prophet, because the prophet would only be saying what that completed word would say. Well, if you look at 1 Corinthians 13th chapter, or 1 Corinthians chapter 13, pick up in verse 8, the Bible says love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether they are tongues, and this is the miraculous power of speaking tongues, says they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. What we know in part, he's talking about what we know, and at this time, in the church, they only had partial knowledge. That's why he says we know in part. That word part from the Greek carries with the idea of partial. And we prophesy in part. Even when they were prophesying, they were only prophesying a part, a portion of God's word. But then he says in verse 10, but when that which is perfect, and that word perfect comes from the Greek word complete, or literally that which comes to completeness. So when revelation would come to completeness, when they would have received the completed revelation of God, he says, the part, that which was in part, will be done away with. The word of God, what we have today, what we call the Bible, is the completed word of God. This is how we get our revelation from God today, from his word. And so a person may come along and may be speaking the word of God because they have learned it from God's word. Well, that's not being a prophet. That's just, he is a person that has learned God's word, and they're speaking the word of God. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But to say that God is speaking through a person and giving new revelation, well, that would contradict the Bible itself. Let me say that again. It would contradict the Bible itself. Now, you say, well, how do you know that? Well, first of all, what Paul says in the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, he talks about someone preaching another gospel. So someone's not going to come and preach something new. They can't. He says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Someone can't preach something new. If it's new, it's not true. And so God is not speaking a new message. He's speaking the same old message that we have in the pages of the scripture. Let me give one other passage that may aid in this. In 2 John verse 9, verse 10, the Bible says, whoever transgress means to go beyond, and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. That means you have to stay within the realms of the doctrine of Christ. Bible says does not have God. If someone's saying something new, then they do not have God because they're forced by this scripture to abide within the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. The Bible says he does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, he says, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. And so if anyone today is coming to you with some new teaching, some new doctrine that they're claiming that they're receiving from God, do not receive him into your house. God's word has been given to us. It's been complete. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I didn't write that, brethren. I didn't write that, friends. That's just out there. That's in God's word, and we just have to accept it. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564.
Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us with our with a cell phone at 725-9283. The choice is yours. The questions are yours. The answers are going to be God's. And so let's go to his word for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. The voice line again is 308-9564. The lines are both available right now, so now's your chance to jump in and ask your question, and we'll be glad to go to the Bible for the answer. We have Prince calling in this question today. Prince, thank you so much for calling, and thank you for participating in today's program. Their question is, what does the Bible say about contraceptive or birth control? Well, Prince, I first almost said, well, there's really nothing the Bible says about that as far as birth control. However, there is a passage in the Old Testament that does deal with dealing with an unborn child, and I will bring that to you. That's in Exodus chapter 21. We'll look at it in a second. But let me preface it by saying in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 that says that Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by law, you are fallen from grace. And so even though we're going to the Old Testament for the answer, we're going to see this principle also established in the New as well. So in Exodus chapter 21 and verse 22, it says, if a man fight and hurt a woman with child so that she give birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished according to the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as he judges, as the judges judge determines. Verse 23, but if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life. Verse 24, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for, and it goes on. And so we can see there that there was a understanding of even accidental, if you will, dealing with or taking the life of an unborn child. In other words, what the New Testament calls that is murder. James chapter 2, verse 11, quotes one of the Ten Commandments, and of the ten, nine of them are repeated in the New Testament, and here's a couple of them here in James 2 and verse 11, for he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. And other places as well where God says that we are not to murder, and that is taking the life of someone else, whether that child has been brought through childbirth or not, that child is a viable human being. And so we do not have the right to take a child. So that doesn't really answer your question, I know, because some contraceptives have an ingredient that would prevent the conception of a child, and so that is nothing to do with murder there. But recently, there's been several of them that have, if you will, the day after, or to be able to abort that child after the conception, or a few days after conception. And so I would encourage everyone that listens to that, it is the same thing as murder. And so we just need to make certain that we are not taking a life that does not belong to us. God is the giver of life, and he is the one that should be in control of that. And so, again, that was Exodus chapter 21, verse 22 and 23 in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's James chapter 2, 1 Peter 4, verse 15. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, the works of the flesh, and many other places. So hopefully that's been helpful to you, Prince. And again, we sure do appreciate your question and your tuning in today. It's time for us to take our first break. During this break, we are going to be offering you a correspondence course at the end of the message. There may not be an operator standing by. At the end of the message, you'll be able to enroll in this correspondence course. And so feel free to take advantage of this. Here are the details on that. And the course that we send to you, even in tomorrow's mail, you may have never noticed these things in God's Word. They are of utmost importance, so please do not miss out on this opportunity to be able to get the Bible Correspondence Course. While we are at break, be sure to call in your questions, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We do want you to know that we're glad to have you with us today as we go to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your mind. Again, the lines are available, 308-9564. That is our voice line. You can go live over there or have it written down and brought into us. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Our operator came in just now and said, "Well, Ricky, that wasn't really clear what you just went over." And so let me just see if I can summarize it just a little bit clearer. The Bible says nothing about contraceptive as far as pre-fertilized human conception. The Bible says nothing about that whatsoever. So we can't really address that. There's no scripture about that. But as far as a human being destroyed, either pre-birth or after birth, that is murder. And the Bible calls that murder, and we cannot do that. So hopefully that's a summary of it, makes it a little bit clearer. All right, thumbs up. Very good. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll go to the Bible for the answer to the question on your mind.
Also want to make mention of our website. We do have a website where you can go and listen to or download, if you would like, previously recorded broadcast. That website URL web address is www.biblealone.com. Again, that's www.biblealone.com. And again, there are other materials on that website that you can download that is designed to help you. Again, the very purpose of this broadcast is to be an aid or a help to those who are trying to learn more and more about God. And even if you would disagree with something that we would say, we hope that you would be of the caliber of such that you would go and look at the scriptures and study it yourself. It may be that there are other passages of scriptures that will aid in understanding, but the motivation should be, let me go to God's Word and see what God's Word has to say on the subject matter. So feel free to call us with your question. We will do our best just to let the Bible speak. Again, that number is 308-9564, 308-9564. If you prefer to text us, go ahead and text us at 725-9283.
We have a text number a question coming in from the last digits of 081. We want to say thank you for participating in today's broadcast. We're glad that you have a question and that you want to know what God's Word has to say on it. Their question is, are demons real? And if so, are demons and angels angels that follow Satan one and the same? Well, let's first of all establish that they are real. The Bible talks about the devil and angels in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire for the devil, prepared for the devil and his angels." And so, yes, the devil is real, and his angels are real, and there they are called angels, which literally means servant. They are serving the devil, and so that is the idea there. So they are real. Are they one and the same? Well, there does seem to be a suggestion in 2 Peter chapter 2, I believe it is, where the devil fought against God and the angels and was cast down to earth, and so they at one point were certainly created beings just like the other angels, but they rebelled against God, and thus they were punished. In 2 Peter chapter 2 And as soon as I get there, I'll give you the verse here. 2 Peter chapter 2, it brings out how that they left their first estate and are now been cast down. Let's see, 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with, let's see here, I apologize for the pause. 2 Peter chapter 2. Okay, it says in beginning of verse 10, especially those who walk according to the flesh and lust of uncleanness, despise authority. They're presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring reviling accusation against them. But these, like natural brute beasts, are made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things that they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their corruption. That's not exactly what I'm looking for here. I thought for sure I was looking at it. Here we go. I was going too far. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. It says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." And then he goes on to talk about and Noah's world and then Sodom and Gomorrah, that he will also deliver. He knows how to deliver the unrighteousness even today. And so in that long discussion of a judgment day coming, which he says over into chapter 10, the day of the Lord will come when all of this will be done. He does point out how these angels had sinned and God cast them out. So it was the devil and his angels that seemed to be that were maybe as regular angels at one time. I think that may answer your question there in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. And let's see, are angels real? Yes. If so, are they the same as angels and yet that they follow Satan? Yes, I think that answered your question. So Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, and then also 2 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 4 and on there. Hopefully that has been helpful to you. We sure do appreciate your text question and hope and pray that that has been beneficial to you. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or you can text us at 725-9283. The lines are now available. Go ahead and call in right now at 308-9564.
We have another question that came in. Grace asked about marriage and divorce. It says, if a divorced person marries a unmarried person, is that marriage in God's eye? Or is it, the idea is that marriage okay in God's eye? And so that's a very good question for us. I think it boils down to really who has a right to marry, because marriage is a godly ordained institution, and anyone who has a right to marry would be right in God's sight. And so if we can determine who has a right to marry, that will let us know whether this marriage is okay in God's eyesight. And so the first person that has a right to marry would be a person, of course, who's never been married before. And so that's one of the parties that you talk about in your question. Here's a person that's never been married before, and they marry a person that's divorced. The person who's never been married before, they absolutely would have a right to marry. That's one person that has a right to marry. Well, who else has a right to marry? Well, a person who's been married before, and their spouse dies. And that comes out in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39, the Bible says a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty. That word liberty carries the idea of freedom, to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. And so then she's free to marry again. So here's a woman that's been married, and her spouse dies. Well, then what about someone who's been divorced? Well, in Matthew chapter 19, this passage we use often, it talks about a person who gets divorced. And there's only one reason that God will allow divorce, and in this context, allow that person to remarry. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, the Bible says, "And I say to you," this is Jesus speaking, "whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. So the only person in verse 9 that can actually marry another and get divorced and marry another is the one who put away their spouse for sexual immorality. So if I'm a person and I was married before and I put away my spouse for sexual immorality or fornication, they cheated on me, then I have a right to marry another, and that would be okay in God's eyesight. But according to this verse, if that's not the case, the Bible says then when I do that, if I go out and marry someone else and my spouse did not commit sexual immorality, regardless of whether or not I put them away, then I've committed adultery, and whoever I marry also commit adultery. So I encourage you to study that, and what also may be helpful is Matthew chapter 5, verse 32 as well, kind of gives 31 and 32 gives some clarity as well. I hope that's been helpful to you. Also, I mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. We do appreciate your question. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-9564. We are just about at the point where we need to take another break, so we want to encourage you to listen closely to the material that we're going to be offering, a Bible study, in-home Bible study, that will be an aid to you.
And there's not an operator standing by today, and so we want to let you know there'll be a short recording encouraging you to go ahead and give your name and address, and we'll get the course, though, in the mail to you this day as well. And so just in case the operator is not standing by, you can go ahead and give your name and address, and we'll be glad to get that information to you. Here's all the details on that. We'll be right back. We do want you to know the lines are now available. Go ahead and call in your question at 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right
back. Again, we want to encourage you to take advantage of the correspondence course. Go ahead and call. Leave your information after you listen to the message, and we will get that course out to you as soon as we can. If you want us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. We will do our best to let the Bible speak. We do appreciate so much the questions that have been coming in, very good questions, well thought out. We do appreciate that. Those of you who are listening, we hope that this has been an aid and a help to you. We hope that you are being encouraged by hearing God's Word, but at the same time, that you are taking the time to go and look at these scriptures for yourself and make sure the things that we say are, in fact, so. Join us right now and go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. If you prefer, you can text us at 725-9283.
We have Chuck calling in this afternoon. Chuck, we sure do appreciate you tuning in and listening, and we really appreciate your question. I think we might have had this question before, but it is rare, and so we sure do appreciate your heart, that your desire to be very much concerned about the thought your question is about. His question is, does God choose your mate, or do you choose your mate? Well, Chuck, that is a really good question, and I'm going to have to take you to an Old Testament example to be able to help you with that answer. In Genesis chapter 24, we have Abraham sending his servant to get a wife for his son Isaac. And the servant does as a good servant does. He obeys, and he goes where he is sent to do this. And when he arrives to the location where the woman is to be found, the very first thing he does is pray. So that's something that we should be doing as well. If we are looking for a mate, he prays in Genesis 24 and verse 12. Then he says, O Lord of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now, let it be that the young woman, to come and say, let me, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels drink. Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. So the first thing he does is pray. That is something that we should be doing. If you find yourself single and you have a right to marry, certainly, then we should be praying about that, because that will be the second biggest decision you will ever make in your lifetime. Who will you be spending the rest of your life with, and who is going to influence your children for eternity? And so that is, there is no greater, bigger decision in this life save the one to serve our Lord to begin with, to become a child of God. But, you know, not only does he pray, but then there are several other things that show up in this text as well. In verse 16, it says that there was a young woman that did that. It says that she was very beautiful, so there's nothing wrong with looking on the outside. But remember, beauty's only skin deep, ugly's to the bone. When beauty fades away, ugly holds its own. So remember, that's not the only thing to look for. It also notice that says that she was a virgin and no one had known her, so that is important. That she went down to the well, filled the pitcher, and came up. That shows that she was diligent. It also says in verse 18, when she said, "Drink, my Lord," then she hastened to let down her pitcher. That shows that she was very industrious, or very quick to be able to serve. The word hastened is mentioned in verse 18, is mentioned in verse 20. And she ran back to the well to draw the water, so she was thorough. And that she did this for all his camels, which shows that she was not lazy. I understand that camels can drink a whole lot of water, and there were a number of camels that she drew the water out for them to drink until they were full. So there were remarkable characteristics that were shown other than the answer to his prayer about asking for a drink and giving a drink. So there are several things to consider. So the answer to your question is, yes, we should pray. Absolutely. We should pray about everything. Philippians chapter 4, and everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. But also, we have part of this decision as well, as we can see all of those characteristics demonstrated in this young lady. Then also, we should be ready, willing, and prepared to be able to know what it is that we desire as well in this. So, there again, I can't say it is all God, and I can't say it's all you, but it is God giving us the ability to learn from his word what it is and how big a decision this really is. And so, Chuck, I commend you in your desire to know what God wants, but just notice this passage and notice the other examples, especially as Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 describes a virtuous woman, beginning with verse 10 all the way to the end of the chapter. Again, you see a remarkable lady there, described as someone far more valuable than rubies. And so, yes, be careful, because they will influence your family tree for generations to come if the Lord delays his coming. So thanks, Chuck, for your question. We sure do appreciate that very much. Proverbs 31, and there in Genesis 24, and we sure appreciate it. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. If you have a text, you can text your question. If it's a cell phone, you can text your question at 725-9283.
You know, Ricky, as you were talking, I got thinking about Proverbs 31, thinking that, you know, this would be indeed extremely helpful to many of our folks that are listening. So I'm just going to touch on just some of those passages that come out of Proverbs 31 that show kind of the element, the characteristics that you're going to be looking for in this good wife. Praying for it, as Ricky mentioned, absolutely. But then your eyes should be open, because you're looking for a person that demonstrates they have a respect for God and the things that God says. And Proverbs 31 and verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her." So here's a woman that is trustworthy. And you can see that in a person long before you get married, whether or not this person is trustworthy. So he will not have lack or gain. Verse 12 says, "She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." Let me suggest to you that if you're dating someone, or you're in a relationship with someone and they're not already doing you good, well, it's not going to get any better once you say, "I do." When you say I do, you're done.
That's exactly and so, right, yes.
And so you want to make sure that that person is already doing you good. And then in verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship that brings, she brings her food from afar. I think Rich, Ricky mentioned how that the young lady should not be lazy, or the example he gave where a woman was not lazy. But you see that by way of action, by activity. And so this person that you are dating, is this person going to be a lazy person? Or is this person by way of activity, the things that they're already doing before marriage, suggests that this is a person that is a person who's willing to participate, share, labor, share in that work. And so, again, these are things that you can know ahead of time. It says in verse 15, she also rises while it is still not yet night and provides food for her household and a portion of her maidservants. So here's a person that's a servant mentality. So here's this woman that is absolutely has the servant mentality. She wants to serve. And again, before you get married, you're going to be able to know whether this person that you're in a relationship with have this servant mentality. They'll be serving their family. They'll be serving their friends. They'll already be doing that. And these are things that you can see, readily see in a person. It goes on to say in verse 16, she considers a field and buys it from her profits. She plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arm. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. So here's a woman that is industrialist. Verse 16 says she considers a field, so she's intelligent. You can see that she can make it on her own. Now, that's a valuable criteria that she can make it on her own. She can show a level of good decision making. And that's the kind of spouse that you want. Someone that can that is dependable, someone that is independent and yet will choose to be dependent upon their spouse. Those are good criteria. It goes on to say in verse 19, she stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Here's someone that's given to charity. Here's someone that is compassionate. Here's someone that is merciful. You see, that's the kind of woman you're looking for, someone that is compassionate and merciful. So all these wonderful criteria are seen in this virtuous woman. It goes on in verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household. All her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gate when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the sashes for the merchants. But again, more in painting the idea, here's this woman that is self-sufficient. She takes care of others. She has the servant mindset. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. So here it speaks of her character, the very character of this person. Strength and honor. Honor is the idea of she's respectable. And that's the kind of woman that you should be seeking. And so a few other things come out in that text, but this paints a picture of the kind of the nature, the character of the kind of woman that would be considered virtuous by the Bible standard and perhaps a great wife for someone who is seeking. Now, here's the little cherry on top of the ice cream. All these characteristics cannot or should not only be applied to a woman. For you women who are looking for a good man, a virtuous man, you can apply these same characteristics to them. Now, is this person already lazy? Ladies, let me tell you something. If he's not working, not willing to work now, when you get married, he sure ain't gonna be willing to work at that point neither. So yeah, you need to make sure he's not lazy ahead of time. Is he full of honor? Is he gentle? So you can look at all these same characteristics. Does he have a servant mentality? And you can apply that to men as well. I hope that's been helpful to you. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564. If you prefer to text in your question, go ahead and text us at 725-9283. 725-9283. We're going to go ahead and take another break at this point. This will give you time to think about the things that we just considered, because these are things you want to ponder, especially you young people who find yourself so often from one relationship to the next. Take your time. Find someone that is godly. Pray about it. And then make sure that they meet these characteristics. Don't sell yourself short. Because once you get married, once you say, I do, you're done. So you need to make sure that the person that you say, I do to, is able to meet the standards that we see within the pages of the Scripture. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. We'll be right back. Again, that number to sign up for the correspondence course is 553-5157, 553-5157. Today we don't have an operator standing by, possibly, but you can leave a message if you hear a recording, and then we will get the course out to you in the mail. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number to the station. We are live, so go ahead and call in your questions. 308-9564, if you prefer. Go ahead and text us with your question, 725-9283, 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak.
It is a hot summer day out there, and we know that, and we pray that you are not having to listen to us while you are sweltering in the heat. But we hope and pray that you have pencil and paper in hand so that you can write down the verses of Scripture that we give so you can study these things and to see if they are in fact God's Word and not just some teaching of some loudmouth person on the radio. We are glad to be able to be your host to go to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your mind. Now, we have both lines, two voice lines here at the station available, so go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564. This is a live broadcast. It's not a recording, and we are happy to be able to serve you the Word of God. When you call in your question, we'll go to the Bible if there is a Bible answer, and we will do our best to be able to give you book, chapter, and verse for every question that pertains to life and godliness. Again, the number 308-9564, that's 308-WJNI, and we will go to the Bible for the question that is on your mind. You set the tone, you set the question, God gives the answer from His Word, and so we'll go to the Bible for the answer. Now, you can also communicate via the your cell phone through your texting. If you're one that would rather communicate that way, you can do so. Again, the text line is 725-9283. That's 725-9283. And you can text in your question, and we will be able to answer it on today's broadcast as well. Something you may or may not be aware of, we have a website that we are more than happy to share with you as well, and in which you can go and download the programs from the last 3.5 years, if that's so you so desire, and study through all of those programs. We're glad to share those with you from our website. That site's address is www.BibleAlone.com, www.BibleAlone.com, and you can download previous broadcasts of the radio program here, and then also there are Bible study resources on that website as well. And so make certain that you take a look around and be able to take advantage of all of the resources that we offer on the website. It's not an extensive site, but we do have common questions that come up every now and then, and so we try to have the materials on those questions so you can study those in the comfort of your home. Or also you can take the recordings of the program and listen to them on your computer and stop and pause and look up the verses of Scripture and make certain those things are right, and you can do that as well. And by chance, if you happen to hear something where we have missed the mark, something where God's Word did not say what we said it said, then you would be our friend to point that out to us, because we are just mere men. God's Word is perfect, and we need to make certain that we're sticking right with it and not teaching man-made doctrine. And so we would be happy for you to communicate with us that way as well. The only thing that we desire is for God to be heard, His Word to be put into the hearts of everyone that is seeking after Him. And if you are such a seeker as that, then we rejoice in your communicating with us. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call 308-9564. while we have a pause in the calls coming in, let me go ahead and let you know that there is another service that we offer. And that is, if you would desire to have or host a Bible study similar to what this broadcast is right now, to where that you would like to host that in your home, if you wanted to get together a group of people in the Charleston area, mainly in the Goose Creek and Somerville, North Charleston, Hanahan, Ladson area, then please give the operator a call right now at 553-5157, or if it is the computer answering, just saying, I want to host a Let the Bible Speak in My Home. And then give us the details and your phone number. We'll call you back and make those arrangements. And that way you can invite your family and friends, even your preacher if you desire, into your home. And we'll be glad to sit down with open Bible and see what God says in His Word. There's no one that would not be welcome to be able to have such a opportunity to be able to go to the Bible for the answer. Because the way we view this and the whole purpose of this program is that we want to be invisible. We only want God's Word to be heard. And thus, we'll let the Bible speak there in your home if you would like to host an event similar to this broadcast here on Sunday afternoons. So make certain that you call and take advantage of that, and we'll try to make those arrangements as soon as possible. So make certain you call 553-5157 and give us your name and telephone number. We'll call you back, and we'll make those arrangements for the event to take place there in your home or any place that you so desire. We do want you to focus on, and we do hope it is focused in the Goose Creek, Hanahan, North Charleston area, but any place in town would be appropriate. So make certain that you avail yourself of that to put on or host a Let the Bible Speak there in your community. Again, the number is 553-5157, and we'll make those arrangements as you contact us. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call in your question right now at 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, or you can text us at 725-9283, and we'll take your question either live over the air or through the text phone, texting on your phone, and we'll be glad to answer the question even right now on this broadcast. Again, the text number 725-9283. The voice line is 308-9564.
So let's take a few moments and just kind of talk about why it's so important to study God's Word. It's really important for us to make sure that we have a relationship with God. And God's not going to have a relationship with us based upon our terms. He's only going to have a relationship with us on His terms. He's the one that sets the terms that we all must meet. There's a passage in the book of Proverbs, I believe it's Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, which says that there's a way which seems right unto a man. No, that's not it. Yes, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Yes. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so I can't do what seems right in my eyes, and then that means I'm going to have a relationship with God. God is the one that sets the standard. And so you and I are forced, and I use that word, you know, and I know we don't like that word, but it really is true. We're forced to come to understand and to learn what the terms that God has set forth are, so that we can make sure that we are living by those terms, that we are meeting His agreement. He sets forth the contract or the covenant, and we must enter into a covenant relationship with Him, a contractual agreement. And I have to come to know that. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man, or the whole duty, some translation says, of man. And so all that we're here to do is to fear God or reverence God and to keep His commandments. Now, how can I keep His commandments if I don't know what they are? And so one of the reasons we do spend a lot of time focusing on what does the Bible say or focusing on study is that I have to know what God says in order to do it. Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love Me, keep My commandments. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father who is in heaven. We have to do the will of the Father. Well, I have to know what the will of the Father is. And the only way to do that is to study and learn and seek to understand the things that he has revealed in his inspired word. And if I fail to do that, then I'm not going to be in this covenant relationship with God. That means I'm going to be outside of the relationship with God. I'm outside of the blessings that God has in Christ Jesus. It means I'm going to be in a lost situation. I'm going to be without hope. You see the dominoes as they fall. And so it's so important to make sure that I'm doing all I can to understand the will of God. One way we can help you in that, one way we can help ourselves in that, is by asking questions and trying to determine whether or not they are found within the pages of the Scripture.
And once we learn from God's Word what we are to do and what Jesus did to bring us salvation, then we then have to respond. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That should bring about faith. When we hear God's Word, Romans 10:17, that faith, that message of what Jesus did and what God has done in order to win our hearts should break our hearts and give us a sorrow that it was necessary that would cause us to repent, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. And when we have that sorrow, that broken heart, that such a terrible price had to be paid to take away our sins, that should lead us to turn away from our sins, repent. And Jesus said, if you repent, and if you do not repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13 and verse 3. Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost, when they heard what Jesus did and how they had crucified the Son of God through their rebellion, they asked what they must do. And they were told to let every one of them repent and be baptized, every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. That also involves, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, Matthew 10, verse 32, a confession, a profession, a public statement with our lives and with our hearts that they believe what Jesus did for themselves and are willing to respond by dying to their sins, that the price of the sin that they committed would be satisfied. How is that price paid? Well, we've got to die. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So we've got to die with Christ in order to rise and walk in newness of life. It is not until that moment, let me repeat that, it is not until that moment to where we die with Christ. And verse 7 says, he that has died has been freed from sin. So therefore, it is not until that moment that we are freed from sin. Now, that may be a shock to you. You may have heard the story of Paul being saved on the road to Damascus, a very common sermon preached many times. But would you be surprised to know that that was wrong? No, Paul was not saved on the road to Damascus. When you look in Acts 9, Acts 22, and verse 26, or chapter 26, three chapters it's mentioned, you'll see that he was told to go into the city, and there he would be told what he needed to do. And when you put all those records together, you find out for 3 days he prays and fasts, not eating or drinking for 3 days. Showing his heartbreak, showing his penitence, showing his godly sorrow over what he had practiced, over what he had been doing. And then after 3 days, Ananias comes and tells him in Acts 22 and verse 16, why are you waiting? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So where were his sins during that 3 days of penitent fasting and praying? Yes, that's correct. They were still on him. It was not until he died with Christ to rise and walk in newness of life that his sins were washed away. And thus, when we read there in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, we notice the word, the pronoun we or us, when he says, do you not know that as many of us, including himself, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? So if we want to be in Christ Jesus, that does not occur at belief. The devil believes and trembles. It does not occur at repentance. Matthew 7 and verse 22 and 23 shows there were a lot of people that were doing many wonderful works. But Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So it doesn't come at belief, doesn't come at repentance, doesn't come at confession, because the demons even confess their faith in Jesus. My friends, if we are not in Christ, that occurs, put in Christ, that occurs at baptism, then we are still in our sins. Let me repeat that one more time. If we have not died with Christ in baptism and baptized for that reason, then we are still in our sins. I personally was baptized four times by man-made motivations and doctrines, which did me no good whatsoever. It was not until I saw by faith in God's Word what God says that I was immersed that added me to Christ. And if I'm not doing that, if I have not done that, then I would still be in my sins. We've got to make certain that we've obeyed God, not man, if we are to be freed from sin and if we're to be in Christ. If you have questions on this, you've got just 30 minutes to go ahead and call in your question about it. We'll go to the Bible for the answer. Again, the numbers are 308-9564, 308-WJNI, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. Thank you for tuning in today. We sure do appreciate your joining us. And we want you to know, if you are calling the operator standing by, there may be a recording that's answering today. And so don't let that disturb you. Just go ahead and leave your name and information, and we'll get the course in the mail to you even tomorrow. So don't hesitate to do that. And by the way, I don't know if I've mentioned this, that in this course, you will discover things in God's Word that you may have never heard in the pulpit. You may have never heard this preached before. You may have never heard it on television. But it's been in the Bible the whole time. You know how I can say that? Because many times when we go to people's homes and we have Bible studies, I am shocked at the number of times that we just go over some of the most basic things, and all of a sudden the student's face just changes, and they say, you know, I have never seen that before. The latest time was, this was a preacher's son. He was raised in a particular denomination. And after going through just a little bit in God's Word, they said, I've never seen this before. And so that is the way that the devil works. He wants to give you plenty of God's Word as long as it keeps you in your sin. And so that is what we've seen. That is what we have experienced and understand that the devil is doing in the religious world. So do not miss out on getting this correspondence course. If you happen to call the operator standing by at 553-5157 and the line is busy, just hang up and then hit redial in a few moments. You'll be able to get through and we'll get the course in the mail to you. Again, for that free course, we will never ask for a handout. Please do not send us your money or do not send us a contribution. We are happy to give you the gold, the silver, the treasure that is contained in God's Word. And that treasure will never be taken away from you. Again, that number is 553-5157. And we will be glad to send that to you absolutely free. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call 308-9564 or text us at 725-9283.
Caitlin calls in today. Caitlin says, is it wrong to pledge in a Greek sorority? Caitlin, we sure appreciate that question. In fact, I'm not so sure we've had a question worded that way, but it made me do some thinking. First of all, the word pledge, that can be taken a lot of different ways. If a person is pledging in the sense of saying, I promise to or I commit to, I think that would be fine. Just you need to know what in the world you're committing to. And so it would be important to know what are the elements or the responsibilities of such sorority. Now, if when you say pledge, they're going to require you to swear to. Sometimes folks want you to perform an oath, swear to God. Now, that's different if we look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, the Bible, just as Jesus speaking, he says, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Whatever is more than these is from the evil one. And so when we say pledge, is it just the idea that you're saying you're going to promise, you're committing to it? I think perhaps that may be fine, but the moment that we begin to swear an oath, or we're making a pledge by trying to, you know, sometimes even in a court of law, they're asking people to put their hands on the Bible and swear. At least at one time they used to do that, and I'm not so sure that still goes on. When you're putting your hands on the Bible, what are you swearing by or swearing to? You don't have the authority to swear by the Bible or to swear by God, because we can't control God. So in that sense, that would be wrong. But to promise, to affirm, that would be fine. It's the idea of saying, yes, I will. And so you said, is it wrong to pledge in a Greek sorority? So the pledge, as long as the pledge is not swearing an oath, I think you're fine in that. Now, the idea of a Greek sorority, sometimes sororities may require you to do things that may actually go against what you see within the pages of the scriptures. And so you want to make sure that you are aware of what they're going to ask you to do so you can determine ahead of time, are you going to be able to do that without violating God's law? You know, are they asking you to bow down to some Greek god or something? I don't know. I've never been in a Greek sorority. Or are they asking you to do something that is against God? And I looked at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19 that talks about the works of the flesh. You just want to make sure you're not violating God's law. The Bible says in Galatians 5 verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Are you going to have to dress a certain way immodestly as part of this sorority? You don't want to partake of it. It says idolatry. Are you going to have to bow down to someone and give them honor? Well, you don't want to share in that. It says soul sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies. In verse 21, it says envy, murders, drunkenness. Are you going to have to get drunk and party? Is that part of the sorority? So is any of those things, the Bible says very clear, he says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. I sure hope that's been helpful to you, Caitlin. Very good question, and it's good to see where your mind is, that you're thinking these things through. But join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564 again, 308-9564.
We have Matt calling in this question. His question is, will gay people be in heaven? And the first thing that came to my mind, maybe I'm just too old or something, I don't know, but was Luke chapter 15 and verse 7, where it says, I say unto you likewise, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents over the 99 persons who need no repentance. So, yes, there's going to be a lot of gaiety, a lot of happiness, a lot of joy in heaven. But, you know, I suspect that's not what you're asking. Anyway, that was Luke 15 and verse 7, along with other verses as well, shows that there will be great joy in heaven. If you're meaning by gay there how the word has changed meaning in the last few years, which now suggests that of homosexual behavior, well, the answer to that question is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, where it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, so that would be anyone that would be practicing illicit sexual relationships, nor idolaters, anyone that would be putting anything before God, nor adulterers, when marriages are not being held to true to one another, nor homosexual, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So that seems to anyone that's practicing those things is, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But now there's hope. To answer your question, notice the next verse, 11. And such were some of you. That is past tense. They're no longer those things. They have repented of those things. They have been washed, but you have been sanctified. You have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so as long as they practice those things, the answer is no. They will not be able to inherit the kingdom of God or heaven. We will not be able to be allowed there because we must turn from those things. And so just as sure as being a thief is not a biological occurrence that we were born to be a thief, we are not born to do any of those things that are in that list there. I know that modern science today would have us to believe some of those things, but the truth of the matter is all of these things are just decisions. They're decisions that we make to practice or to not practice, and the truth of the matter is what we need to do is to choose not to practice such things, and that is a choice. Let me read verse 11 again. This is again 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, and such were some of you. So I hope that's been helpful to you. Again, the numbers are 308-9564, the voice line, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Sam calls in today. Sam asked a question. I believe it's a follow-up question to Caitlin, who called in about whether or not to join a Greek sorority. Sam says, what about the Masons? Is it okay to be part of that? And I take that to mean that organization. Well, again, Masonry, if in fact it's acting as a social club, much like a sorority, and any type of social club, it's okay to join as long as you know what they're asking you to do, and what they're asking you to do does not violate what God says. The moment that it violates what God says, no matter how big or how small, if you're trying to be a godly person, then you're not going to share or participate in those things. Freemasonry is very public. You can find out a lot of information about Freemasonry. My understanding is while it does suggest that it's not a religious organization, there are terminology that is used in reference to Masonry that makes it sound like a religious order. And so far as I know, the way I've come to understand it, it is a religious order. Now, they suggest they're not, so I'm not going to try to trump what they're saying. And that's why I'm encouraging you to go and do your homework on it. But what I've found things like where people are called worshipful master. I can't call nobody worshipful master. I can't humble myself before some man. I can't do none of that stuff because we're called to bow down before the Most High God and Him alone. And what I've come to understand, they look at it as just a way of respect or honor, but we render honor and respect to the Most High God and Him alone. Again, those are just some things that I've found. Because I can't really speak to where the Bible speaks on this, I'm going to encourage you to go and to do your own research. And just remember, whatever society or club that you think you're going to join, make sure it's not asking you to do something that violate what the Bible says. And usually you'll know they're asking you to worship something or to bow down or to do, get drunk or some sin. Usually you'll be able to pick up on whether or not that violates what the Bible teach. And in that respect, that order, be it religious or non-religious, would be inappropriate for you to be affiliated with. Sam, I sure appreciate your question, and I'll leave you with Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 as well, which talks about the works of the flesh and those who engage in such, that they shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Time for us to take our final break, so we want to encourage you to go ahead and call your questions. We have just about 15 minutes left, and so you want to get your questions in before the end of the broadcast. 308-9564. We'll be right back. Again, you have an opportunity to sign up for the Bible Correspondence course. Go ahead and call that number, 553-5157, and leave a recorded message, or you may reach the operator standing by, and she will take your information, and we will get that in the mail to you as soon as we can. To join us in this last segment, we have, like I said, just about 15 minutes or less. Go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will do our best to let the Bible speak.
We have Sass, forgive me if I'm not saying that right, calling in this question. Does any preacher have the right to bless a Bible? Well, that's interesting. I don't think we've ever had that question as well before. And so as I'm thinking about this, first of all, the word Bible is not in the Bible. Oh, I know it's on the front and it's on the rib, but literally in the text, the word Bible is not in the Bible. Second of all, it is the word of God. So in order, it's my understanding, for someone to bless another, the greater is supposed to bless the lesser. So if any man takes it upon himself to say that I'm going to bless the Bible, does that not mean that they are greater than the Bible?
Yes.
Yeah, and so that just doesn't make sense at all. But second of all, when you look and see that that men in the Bible, in the New Testament, the apostles, they were not lifted up as to be in rank over anyone else. Matter of fact, they are rebuking people that tried to do that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, some were calling themselves after Paul and Apollos and rather than after Christ, and they were rebuked for that. When you look at the beginning of every single book that mentions the author's name, at the beginning of the book, you find out that if it was an apostle, they're never referred to as the apostle, for example, Paul, or the apostle Peter. It was a little a in front of the word apostle. Paul called to be an apostle, Peter an apostle of Jesus Christ. And thus they had no titles nor any kind of rank that made them any more important than any other saint. But matter of fact, they were just brethren like we are all to be brethren. Now, right now, you might be scratching your head, but let me erase all doubt. When you look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus put it this way, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." So if Jesus has all authority and all rank and deserving of all honor, then where in the world do we get power to bless anyone as if we have some kind of hocus-pocus power to where that we can, you know, influence? It goes against everything the New Testament says. God is the only one that should be getting the glory and honor. And he desires to bless us all. And the only way that he can do that is if we will do what he says. Jesus says, "Why call me Lord and do not the things that I say? And if you love me, keep my commandments," John 14:15. 1 John 5 and verse 3, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome or grievous." So we need to make certain that that we're looking to serve God and not man. We're supposed to esteem God and not a man, period. Enough said. Thank you for your question, Sass. I sure do appreciate that very much. If that caused you to be scratching your head, yeah, it did me too. And so there's nothing in the Bible about that at all. Again, the numbers are 3089564. We still have time for your question. Go ahead and call it in right now, 308-WJNI. Or if you'd rather text us, you can do so at 725-9283.
We have Nathaniel calling in today. Nathaniel, we sure appreciate you calling. That's a nice Bible name. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, he asked us to explain why we should tithe. So he gives Matthew 23:23, and then also Luke 18 and verse 12. And Nathaniel, I'm going to do you one better. Instead of explaining why we should tithe, I'm going to explain why these folks were supposed to tithe. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, it simply says here you have Jesus talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they lived under the law of Moses. And Jesus says in verse 23, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." So as part of the law of Moses, a person was supposed to pay a tithe or 10%. And so absolutely, these Pharisees should have been doing that, and they were neglecting, he says, the weightier matter. So there was even more than just paying a tithe. These folks were supposed to be doing, being given to justice mercy and faith. And he tells them that they should have been doing all of these things. And then you also mention Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 12. Luke chapter 18, verse 12. And I believe it's a similar text in that here is talking to Pharisees. I'm starting in verse 11. The Bible says the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast, verse 12, twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And so, again, it would be appropriate for a Pharisee, a Jew who lived under the law of Moses, to pay a tithe. That was they were commanded to do that. But now what about us? Well, we're not Jews, one. We're not under the law of Moses. Two, we are Christians, and we're under the New Testament law of Christ. And for as much as they were responsible for giving the way the law that they were under told them to give, we are responsible to give the way the law that we are under tells us to give. So in the church dispensation, we have laws by God concerning how we should give. So two passages. The first one is 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And here he's writing to the church. Paul's writing to the church. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, the collection was to occur upon the first day of the week, that Sunday, and they were to lay something aside. They were to give as God prospered them. That's different than tithing. And then you also have 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, which talks about giving. God loves a cheerful giver. That's that text there, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I hope that's been helpful to you, Nathaniel. Join us right now and go ahead and call 308-9564.
We'll do our best to get to your question today, and so we're going to speed up our answers here. We've got three on deck, and so we have Karen texting in this question. She wants to know, what does the Bible say about fundraising for the church and our church anniversaries? Well, I'll answer the second one first. That is, the Bible says nothing about church anniversaries whatsoever. As far as fundraising, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2 says, upon the first day of the week, verse 2 says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So the gatherings, the contributions, are to be on the first day of the week as they have been prospered. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 9 also says that they should give bountifully and cheerfully. It says nothing about tithing, but we are to give. We're supposed to give to God, give the collection in order for the work to go forth. But it has nothing to do with tithing, and it's supposed to be only on, specified by God, on the first day of the week. Thanks so much, Karen, for your question.
We have another question that came in. It says, if your husband is involved with pornography, is that considered adultery? Well, pornography comes from a Greek word. We get it from a Greek word, porneia, which is really fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So it does not refer to as adultery, but it does fall into the category of fornication, which is sexual immorality. It is a sexual sin. I sure hope that's been helpful to you.
We have Jane calling in as well. Her question is, do you have to speak in tongues to go to heaven? Well, Jane, I hope not, because that would prevent a lot of people from going to heaven. But you want to know what the Bible says, certainly. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. And then he asks a series of questions. So as I read these questions, you answer out loud where you're at right there. It says, are all apostles? Yes or no? I agree. No, not everyone's an apostle. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Whoa. Some might say, well, yes, there are some. We've got to. No. No, again, the answer is no. All the answers to these questions are no. Do all have the gift of healings? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. And that is the way of love. And he goes on to talk about. Well, my friends, we are out of time. And we have another one in another program to end right now. We are so thankful that you've joined us. We hope and pray that the things that we have done today has been an honor and glory to God, and that His Word has been put in your heart, and that you have been made to be built up and edified from our efforts as we let the Bible speak. Please don't hesitate to get the Bible Correspondence Course. We are more than happy to send it to you. Even after this broadcast, you can continue to call and enroll in the course, and we're glad to send it to you free of charge. Thank you again for listening. Tune in again next week as we let the Bible.